Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Mark Wrigglesworth. How are you, Mark?
Very good, thanks, Chris. Very good.
Excellent. You're the owner and, well, not quite manager, probably our manager, of the Good Wine Shop.
That's right, that's right.
And that's in out my end of the world. We're actually in my place in Twickenham.
That's right.
Normally, most people come here when I've got a new loft. I record in the loft and they get to see the loft. You're not going to be the first person to be recorded in my loft.
Oh, well. Never mind. Shame to have missed that. the living room will do.
The last time I did a loft, the first people to come up and be interviewed actually knew all about the story, because during the podcast, I often tell them about how things are going, etc. in there. And they were like, well impressed. Anyway, let's... The reason I wanted to get you on the show is because I haven't interviewed someone in the retail space for quite a number of years. You've got an award by the Off-Licence News as the top independent champagne, is that right?
Yeah, independent champagne retailer of the year 2017,
which is quite nice.
3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, which is lovely. We'll touch on that as well. But I'm quite interested in sort of the history of the shop as well, because when I first started in the wine trade, the Good Wine Shop in St. Margaret's was one of the places I went to do sort of my research on wine.
Sure.
I didn't really know much about it at the stage. And we just went around talking to people who were in our local area, effectively. And we popped into the Good Wine Shop in St. Margaret's. But it's no longer there anymore. I was a bit surprised, actually.
It's not. It's not. No. And I, like you, to be honest, was a customer of the Good Wine Shop before I owned it. Good Wine Shop was set up in January 2000, I believe, by my chap who owned the business before me, Daniel Thorold. And he set up the St. Margaret's branch and then opened briefly in Teddington, I think, in around 2002. I think then for some complications in his private life, I think certainly the Teddington site went by the wayside, and I've been visiting the shop for a number of years, having lived in St. Margaret's, and on one visit there was it was announced to me by Daniel that he was selling the shop and going to be moving on. So I jumped at the opportunity to buy the business from him, and that happened in 2004. So since then it's been mine.
What year did you say you took it over? 2003?
2004. Took over the St. Margaret's shop. And then opened...
That was a little shop, though, wasn't it?
It was tiny.
You're saying it was the size of my living room, and that's about the size I remember it as.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a tiny, tiny shop, but it was a great place for me to, if you like, learn the trade. I'd not been in retail and not been in the wine trade myself before.
What did you do before that?
Before that, I was involved in an American healthcare business that I set up in the UK, and their offices here. Ran that for 5 years. And then I worked for a friend of mine's business in the telecommunications consultancy world for about 4 or 5 years before taking over the Good Wine Shop.
So quite a change.
Yeah, dramatic change from what I was used to. And the only sort of wine business I've ever worked for is my own. So yeah, it was a pretty steep learning curve the first few years working away in the shop. That tiny little shop, as you say, we couldn't fit more than about 250 wines in the shop. But it was a great place to learn about the trade, build relationships with customers. And from there, in 2009, having had 4 or 5 years of learning, as I say, on the job, I opened the shop in Kew Village. So we've been there 8, 9 years now. Been very successful there. And then have taken it on in 2011. We opened, or actually took over, an old premises that was Wimbledon Wine Cellar in Chiswick, High Road.
Yeah, yeah. Why did they move out?
I think they come to the end of their lease and they just decided they didn't want to renew. And the owner very kindly let me know that that he was going to be moving on. And we spoke to the landlord and decided we'd like to give it a go up there. So we took on that site. It's between Turnham Green and Stamford Brook on the main Chiswick High Road there.
Yep.
So we've been there 5 years now. And that site's proved very successful for us, I have to say. It's in a nice part of town, a little bit out of the main schlep, but there's a good wine buying public up there.
Well, I'm surprised Wimbledon Wine Cellar had decided, if you thought the site was quite good and you got good value out of it, why they would want to not continue on with it?
Yeah, I have no idea, to be honest, not knowing the history of their trading there. But but no, they very kindly put us in touch with the landlord, as I say, and we've been very pleased with how things have gone up there since we've been there.
And you shut St Margaret's? What was the reason for
that? Yeah, St Margaret's, we came to the end of our lease there, and we had a rather awkward landlord, shall we say, who was determined back in 2010-11 that he was going to almost double our rent. And with the tiny site that it was, we felt we'd done as much as we could with it, and there really wasn't any more that we could get out of it if he was going to increase the rent so dramatically.
And Kew Retail is just right around the corner from...
Yeah, Q is only about a mile away in driving terms, so it just didn't make a lot of sense to stay there, as I say. So we somewhat sadly let that site go, to be honest. But onward and upward, as they say.
Yeah, and you said you had a crack at a site in Esher as well.
That's right. We had a site in Esher for 2 years and actually sold it last summer. But we found very much that the customer base that we had there were very much ones that were private client driven, and essentially we could service that need through email and telephone, and therefore didn't really need the premises down there, which again, if you're looking at sites and rents, you know, that band of Surrey is not the cheapest part to have an office in. So we were quite happy to service those customers from our Kew shop, and we've managed to retain a good chunk of them, and certainly the premium ones.
But Kew and Chiswick aren't exactly cheap areas. You know, you are operating a wine store in a more expensive part of London.
Sure.
So I would have thought it'd be quite difficult to get good rents at a price, and wine's not a big margin business. I've always wondered how the economics stack up of a wine store. I've looked at it and gone, oh, I don't know about that.
It's not easy, I have to tell you. It's not easy at all. You know, wine retail is tough going. The margins are nothing like other retail sectors. When you look at fashion or food, you know, they're working on margins well over 100% and possibly multiples of that. I don't know of many wine retailers in the UK that are working at much above 30-35% margins max.
Yeah, that's pretty typical, isn't it?
And that's, you know, yes, that does make life difficult, and does mean that finding new sites, I mean, we've always got our eye looking out for new sites potentially, and but that's somewhat sort of driven by what we can afford and where we can afford it. But no, we are in nice parts of Southwest London, and to be honest, our sweet spot in terms of the kind of wines that we sell tend to be in the kind of £10 to £30 range, I would say, is the bulk of our sales. But that's not to say we don't sell wines considerably higher than that, and we also have a good range at under £10 as well.
That's quite a nice sweet spot, actually. 10 to 30 is, sure, you know, you're into some pretty nice wines without going silly.
No, absolutely. There's some very interesting wine at that. You know, you're taking away. I mean, once you're north of £15, there's a fantastic range of really stimulating, interesting wines. I mean, one of the strap line we adopted last year was good wine, real people, great stories, and we very much focus on wines and producers who are driven by quality, small production, family producers often, and less so corporations producing large volumes of wines. We like people that, as I say, have got that passion. I was only in Spain earlier this week trying to find some new Galician wines up in the northwest of Spain, and we came across a couple of guys who are producing an Albariño. It's 4,000 bottles a year they produce currently, you know, which is next to nothing. But there's some fantastic wine there and a lot of passion going into it. And that's the kind of thing we like to be able to bring to people in Southwest London, something they can't get anywhere else.
Yeah. And Albariño is quite nice, great variety, but it can be quite nice.
No, absolutely. Certainly great for the summer.
Yeah, true.
When it arrives.
You said that one of the biggest problems setting up stores, and it sounds like if you could, you'd expand the business. You know, it sounds like, you know, do you have a target on how many stores you'd like or anything like that? You know, are you, I want to dominate the world and become a Majestic, or are you?
No, very, very much not. I don't know that we have a target number. I think certainly we know our patch in Southwest London quite well. If we can find the right sites, we'd be happy to add another couple of sites for sure. And one of the things that we've just done at our Q store is get a license for drinking on the premises, which is something new for us, and we're going to run it starting probably in mid to late April, where we will allow people to sit on the premises and have a wine by the glass, but also take anything off our retail shelves and pay a flat £10 corkage and be able to sit and drink the bottle in the shop or at tables outside the shop with a small grazing menu. And that's something new to us and something we're quite excited about. So we look forward to seeing how that goes over the next few months.
Is that predominantly a retail sales income that you're looking for, or is it to develop loyalty with the consumer? What's the driver there? What are you trying to achieve?
I think what we're trying to achieve, I mean, we're very healthy and established retail business, so it's really just adding a string to our bow. It's something that I have to say our customers have been asking us for a number of years, if I'm honest, particularly at a Q location. There aren't many other places to sit and have a quality glass of wine in the area, and the ability for us to add a few tables and chairs, it's not going to dramatically change the nature of the business, which is a retail shop, but the ability for people to sit and have a glass of wine, some olives, you know, a cheese board or a charcuterie board, is something that certainly they tell us they would like, and we're quite keen to give a go. As I say, it's just an additional string to our bow rather than a dramatic change for the business.
You're seeing a lot of non-alcoholic stores like coffee shops having a play at providing wine in the evenings and things like that. I'm always a little bit concerned when a coffee shop starts to provide wine, because that's not really what it's about. You know, my daughters, I'm quite happy to go to a coffee shop by themselves. I wouldn't necessarily want them to go to a coffee shop that's serving alcohol.
No, sure. And I mean,
not that they would go to your wine bar. You know, you're normally...
Absolutely, and I think that's probably the difference between us trying to do this and a coffee shop trying to do it. A coffee shop trying to do something that they, in theory, don't know a lot about in terms of serving wine often results, certainly from distance at watching the likes of Starbucks, who I think have had a reasonable dabble at this, means that they've added very sort of branded wines that you would see, and not anything that certainly personally to me, and I would argue probably my customers too, would find massively stimulating in terms of their wine offering. Consequently, I think they've been rowing back on that in recent months. But certainly from our perspective, we're wine specialists. You know, we've got 700 or 800 wines in our shop, you know, 150 spirits and 50 sort of craft beers. So there's plenty there for us to for people to come and enjoy in store, and equally they've got people on the premises who can tell them about the wine while they sit and drink it. So we think there's a lot of merit in it.
And how many people do you have in each store? Are they, you know, do you have a lot of staff, or is it a small team? Or
we currently have a relatively small team. I have a full-time manager, full-time assistant manager, and then we have a part-time assistant as well who helps out at weekends and evenings during the week. We also then have a retail manager, so that's the team in each store of the two stores. I then have a retail manager, Derek Morrison, who sits above the two stores and takes the lead on our buying as well in conjunction with myself. But essentially it's a relatively small and compact team. That's eight of us running two stores.
And do you find yourself sitting behind the counter much?
From time to time, but less so certainly in the last few years. One of the challenges of running a small business is there are a lot of moving parts, for want of a better word, and trying to make sure that we're focused on the service end of things, providing great service for customers and having lots of interesting new wines coming through the door is quite a challenge when you're worrying about paying PAYE and you know, making sure the website's still live and the various other challenges that go on with the day-to-day running of a business. So having a team in the shops who can deal with the day-to-day operational front line allows me to perhaps get a little breathing space and get my head above the parapet and look at some of the exciting opportunities that are out there for us, potentially like the drinking on the premises that we're expanding to this year.
Yeah. And do you sell wine online?
We do, yes. We've got a website with all of our wines and our spirits online, and that's been a growing area for us, and again, something we'd like to invest in again this year. We're going to get ourselves mobile optimized for this year is the plan. But no, it's been growing quite nicely. We reduced our minimum order to £100 just before Christmas online, and free delivery at £150 anywhere in the UK, and that seems to have done quite well for us. But again, the unique offering of wines that we have, I think, is what drives a lot of our web sales.
Do you find that the sales online are mainly local, or is it really quite a, you know, someone, you're just as likely to serve someone in Scotland as in Twickenham?
Yeah, just as likely Scotland. In fact, more likely, to be honest.
Why is that?
I think it's to do with the range of wines that we carry, because we have a very unique offering and wines that aren't really widely available. The majority of the orders that we get online are wines that people have drunk in a restaurant and have gone, wow, that was amazing. Where can I get it? And those are the kind of wines we stock, often wines that are on, you know, Michelin star restaurant lists or whatever it may be, but are in very small production and really not available in the retail space. And therefore, they find that we're one of the very few retailers who stock the wine that they're after, and consequently, we get that order. And that's very much what's driven a lot of our champagne range in the last year as well. But we can maybe come on to that.
Yeah. You were saying earlier that one of the problems with expansion is premises. Which is always a,
sure,
you know, it is clearly a headache for a lot of people, particularly in the west of London, where you're trying to balance making some money and paying the landlord and all this sort of carry on. But you've got quite small teams in your store, which means that if someone leaves, there's not a lot of cover to cover for those people. You know, how do you find recruitment and training and all that side of things?
Recruitment's always a challenge. Finding good people is not always easy, but I have to say we're very lucky with the teams that we've got. A number of my staff members have been with me for many, many years. They're all incredibly well qualified. In fact, pretty much by one or two of us, everyone has their WSET Level 4 diploma, and we're currently putting one of our managers through that course and supporting him in doing that. But recruitment and replacing people is difficult. I have to say we're quite lucky because we're on the tube lines in London, and therefore we can draw from the whole of London. And often what we find is people who are perhaps sommeliers in the high-end restaurant trade, who are perhaps looking for a slightly more sociable hours, are often the kind of people who perhaps knock on our door when they've decided that they want a change of career. So
okay, so that's where you is that where what sort of churn rate are you, how many times do you have to replace someone in typically in a year?
Oh, I would say we probably need to recruit once a year.
Once a year for one person. Oh, that's not too bad.
So no, it's not. I mean, it's usually a relatively lengthy process. You know, it can take 2 to 3 months to advertise, go through candidates, obviously, and then do some, you know, have them in. We generally get a prospective staff to come in and work a shift in the shop before finally making an offer to them. So we're all sad to see people go, but I'm pleased to say the majority of my staff, you know, I've got out of the six currently that work in store, I have one who's been with me at least 7 years, another 3.5 years, another 2.5 years. So we retain people pretty well.
And you said a lot of them have got level 4 diploma, level 4 WSET, which is a, you know, that's a real proper meaty course. You know,
sure.
That is.
No, it is. I mean, two of my staff are actually wine educators themselves and teach. One teaches courses externally, and we actually run courses ourselves, wine education courses, not the WSET, because I know yourself is involved in that. We're perhaps less formal in terms of the wine education that we do. It's more for people who don't need to take a certificate away at the end of it for career purposes, perhaps, but are doing it for pure enjoyment. We run those courses in store, and as I say, one of our wine educators runs those for us. So no, we have very qualified, well-qualified staff who are passionate about wine. That's a great combination we find in store.
Okay then, Mark, I think we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you.